This morning, I'll be reading from 1 Kings, chapter 13, verses 11 through 19. 1 Kings 13, 11 through 19.
An old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their fathers the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, "Which day did he go?" For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came." He said to him, "I too am a prophet as you are." And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, "Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water.
It's a blessing to be here on this morning as we come together to do the will of God, to have his word preached. We hope, pray, and trust that the things that we have been doing have been very pleasing unto the Lord. We know that God is pleased when we do his will. When we consider our theme for this year, arising out of sleep and awakened to righteousness, we started under the theme for this month, the month of March, as it relates to the heart and how it's important that our hearts are right, and that our hearts have been governed by the Word of God. When we consider every dispensation, what we mean by that is every time period, whether it was the patriarchal system, where God spoke to the fathers, the Mosaic system, where God spoke through Moses, or the Christian system that we live under today, where God is speaking through his son, Jesus Christ. Every single system has in it, naturally a way to deal with rebellion. Amen. Naturally. And what we mean by that is that when we consider not doing the will of God because of the heart, there is a natural recourse. Well, last week we talked about the heart concerning Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through verse number 22. And we talked about those things that proceed out of the heart. And Jesus makes the point that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth. So when we consider today's lesson and to think about the heart and what causes the heart to rebel against God, to rebel against authority. We live in a time, and I guess it's always been a time, but we see as the scriptures are being fulfilled by the Apostle Paul, what he told Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times will come, 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1, that men will become worse and worse. And so we see men who are not abiding by the law. They're not abiding by the covenants that they have made. They're not abiding by any type of moral standard. As a matter of fact, they went about and established their own standard, their own way of living. And this is being seen more and more as we see people who are not disciplined. And then their children are not disciplined. And then what happens is they're going to grow up and their children may not be disciplined. And it's just going to be an endless cycle. So when we consider the patriarchal system, the Mosaic system, and also the Christian dispensation, we see under every single dispensation that there is a natural recourse, that when one doesn't obey the system, they find themselves not just separated from God, but some found themselves dead. I thought about this as we are going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 13 here in a few minutes, and thankful to Nate for reading those passages in a very good way. But I thought about Adam and Eve and when they partook of that fruit, and how Adam listened to the voice of his wife. And that's the key, to the voice of his wife. To a point that God punished Adam in Genesis 3 and verse number 17 because he listened to the voice of his wife instead of his voice. We notice in the book of Exodus chapter 20 through 24 that God gives the law to Moses. Moses gives the law to the children of Israel. And that law was to be obeyed. We know that some obeyed that law because some went into the promised land because of obedience. But we know that many did not go into the promised land because of disobedience, because of unbelief. We also see in the Christian dispensation, in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 11, that we see the law of the Lord, the law of Christ going forth on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, to the point that they were called Christians first in Antioch. Now the reason why I bring these particular points out, because in every single time period, God has given a law. God has always wanted his people to obey him. God has always wanted the world to obey him. He has never wanted a world in chaos, never. As a matter of fact, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So when we stop and we consider what God desires, he desires for his people, especially his people, to listen to his voice. Well, in the garden, because they didn't listen to the voice of God, God removed them from the garden. Under the Mosaic system, turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 27 through 31, we're going to incorporate not just the Mosaic system, but also the Christian system. That when those who did not obey Moses, they found themselves punished. We live in a time today where people don't believe in punishment. They believe in time out. I guess that's all right if you want to think that way. But one thing we do know, that eternity is not time out. It's time in, where there is no time. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 27, the Bible there clearly speaks to us. Notice what the Bible there says. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law, literally rebelled. They rebelled against the law of Moses. And notice what happened to them, friends. They died. They died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment. Now, think about this. How much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, meaning set apart, a common thing, an unholy thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. Friends, did you see that? But notice verse 30. For we know him who has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. We stop and we consider these things, and we consider that under every dispensation we find punishment because of the heart. And when the heart gets away from God, anything is possible. And this is why we have to, as Solomon said in Proverbs 4 verse 23, guard thy heart. But not just guard it, friends, but guard it with all diligence. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life, which teaches that whatever comes in must come out. Now, friends, this is no new concept. This is no new idea whatsoever. And this is why when we put the word of God in our minds and we actually mix it with faith, we then are obedient to the will of God, Hebrews 4, verse 1 and 2. But then I want us to seek a word of encouragement. Because in Hebrews chapter 3, turn your Bibles there. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 through Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2. I'm not going to read all of that, but I am going to say this. That in this reading, we know that the people of God under the Mosaic system didn't enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and verse 19. That unbelief was because of disobedience. They rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, God had no choice but to punish them. Praise God for the blood of Christ. And praise God that we have remission of sins. That we have an opportunity to change our minds, to repent. But that's not part of the lesson. That's free. You can keep that. But here we see in verse number 6, notice what the Bible here says. But Christ, a son, as son over his own house, whose house we are, talking about the church, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Now, Brother Chad, this is important. That when we hear the voice of Jesus, Jesus would say it like this. If you love me, keep my commandments. In John chapter 10 and verse number 27. John chapter 10 and verse number 16, rather. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But how do I hear the voice of Jesus? Is he speaking to us in an audible way? No, ma'am, no, sir. He's speaking to us through his word. So when we stop and we consider, the Holy Spirit is telling them that you must listen to the voice of the Lord. But notice what he says in verse number 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, the provocation, the King James Version says. Now, the reason why we're coming here is because when you think of that word harden, it comes from the word sclero, where we get our English word scleroderma. It's when your arteries get hard. And when your arteries get hard, well, you can have some problems in your body. As a matter of fact, when the heart gets hard, then that individual puts themselves in a position where they begin to buck against God. They begin to tell God that your law is really not my law. Or what I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to do this. Now, many in the world that we live in talk like that. But I don't have time to deal with that right now. But here, the Hebrews writer gives an example, Brother Brian, of those under the Mosaic system and how they did that toward God and God got angry with them because of what was in their hearts. So he says in verse number 8, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and they saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray. Where? Where? In the heart. Most of our problems are in our hearts. The will, the intellect, the soul, the mind, the heart. Many don't pay attention to God. I'm not talking about here at Ninth and Main. I'm talking about in the world that we live in. Because of our hearts. Because of what's in our hearts. Because of scleroderma kicking in our hearts. Becoming hard. And the Word of God not able to flow through it. So we ponder this and we think about this. And notice what he says in verse number 11. So I swore in my wrath. They're not going to enter into my rest. And I thought about that. And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, well, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to the world that we live in? How do I apply this to my life? But notice what he says. Verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But encourage one another every day while it's called today. Why? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Friends, sin is transgression against God's law. 1 John 3:4. It allures us. It causes us to do things that are contrary to what God says. The voice of God, the word of God, the will of God. So you drop down to verse number 15 and notice what the Bible says. While today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as in the rebellion. You know, there are some even today that harden their heart in the Lord's church that when the gospel is being preached, the word of God is being preached and certain things are being taught on. And say, well, I don't believe that. I don't think that's true. But I don't really want to go to the word of God to find out what is true. I just don't believe that's true because I don't believe it. But friends, Jesus would say it like this. In John chapter 12 and verse number 47. He that rejected me and received not my word, had one to judge him. The words that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now here it is. I don't speak of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. Now, Jesus didn't even speak his own words. He got them from the Father, which means that when one is not listening to Jesus, they're not listening to the Father. So we stop and we consider these things and we put them all together. What does it mean to rebel? And then why did we have 1 Kings chapter 13 read? Well, let me give you some definitions of the word rebel or rebellion first before we go there. The word rebel or rebellion means uprising, revolt, insurrection, mutiny, revolution, insurgence, rising, a rioting, a defiance, disobedience, rebelliousness, insubordination, mutinous, subversion, subversiveness, resistance, nonconformity. Does that sound familiar? Amen. That sounds familiar, Brother Dennis, to the world we live in. That I want to do what I want to do, and who are you to tell me what to do? And some, even in the Lord's church, have that mentality. But then now turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we notice something. And the more I study about the kings, the more I'm baffled that the majority of them didn't do what God said. But of course, when you're studying the scriptures, you got to ask yourself, what am I doing? I didn't say, what are you doing? I said, what am I doing? Because I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer. And what's in my heart is vitally important, because if I don't get that which is in my heart, which is unlawful and which is not good for me, out of my heart, I'm going to struggle in this life. And if I don't repent, it's going to cause me to have gate trouble. But in 1 Kings chapter 12, here we understand that David, Brother Royce, was the second king. Let me go back to the first king. Saul was the first king. We'll talk about him in a few minutes, 40 years. And David was the second king over the United Kingdom, 40 years. And then Solomon was the third king over the United Kingdom for 40 years, 120 years there. And we have this unity going on, one kingdom, if you will. But now we got a division going on. We got Rehoboam and Jeroboam. I wish I had time to talk about Rehoboam and Jeroboam, but I don't have time. But I will say this about Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a rascal. Oh, yes, he was, friends. He was a rascal. He did not care about what God thought at all. And that's sad. And this is king over Israel. Look at verse number 1. We got Rehoboam. He went to Shechem. It happened in verse number 2. That Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt. He fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. And they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made the yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome load or service of your father and his heavy yoke, and which he put on us, we will serve you. So if you make it lighter on us, we'll serve you. Rehoboam said, no, I'm not going to do that. Drop down to verse 8. But he rejected the advice of the elders because the elders told him, listen to the people, make it lighter upon them. He rejected that. Drop down to verse number 10. Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him saying, thus you shall speak to this people who have spoken to you saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I'll do it with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice of the elders, and he listened to the advice of the young people. Now, I wish I had time to deal with some of that. But we live in a time where young people would rather listen to young people than listen to older people. Younger people, be careful. I'm talking myself included. I am blessed to be part of an eldership where the oldest is probably 20-something years older than me, Royce. And I've learned, not going to give too much information, that when we're meeting, I shut up. You know why? I'm listening. I'm learning. These great men have things to say. I'm just listening. My day will come where people will listen to me. I'm not saying they don't listen, but listen to the elderly. But now we live in a time where the younger would rather listen to the younger than to the elder who have been there and done that. This is our problem right here. But drop down to verse number 16. Now when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the sons of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now, see to your own house, O David. So Israel departed to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was charged of the revenue. But all of Israel stoned him with stones and he died. Therefore King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste and he fled to Jerusalem. Now notice this, verse number 19. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. They've been rebelling because of this. But then notice verse number 20. Now it came to pass when all of Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back. This is Jeroboam now. We've got a transition. They sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only, Judah alone. Now, and when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribes of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all of the house of Judah. Now this is God speaking, y'all, and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel, that every man return to his house. For this thing is from me. I'm doing this, God is saying. And notice what he says. Therefore they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there also and went out from there and bent Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now he didn't say this with his mouth, friends. This is how powerful God is. He said in his heart, friends, don't you know that God knows exactly what's in our hearts? Every single thought. Now that's scary. That's scary. I mean, to know that some of the things that we have in our hearts, God knows what's in our hearts. Yeah, the Hebrews writer said that he's the father of spirits. Yeah. He knows exactly what's in our hearts. Even though we may not act upon it, he knows what's there. What a beautiful God that we serve, that he allows us to get things right with him, even though we may have some things that need to be worked on. But notice what he says. in verse number 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people, now notice what's in Jeroboam's heart. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, now that's the place in which they're supposed to go, Brother Brian. They're supposed to go to Jerusalem. Notice what he says in his heart. Then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. It was all about him. It wasn't about God. It wasn't about his people. It was about Jeroboam. Verse 28. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold and said to the people. Now, listen to this. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods that brought you forth from Egypt. Hold on. God told them that they're supposed to keep the feast in Jerusalem, Brother Brian. And they're supposed to go there. And when they offer these sacrifices unto God, they will be pleasing unto God. Jeroboam said, it's too much for you to do what God says. Wow. Now we got a rebellion going on already. And you know, there are people who won't actually say that today, but they'll say that today. It's too much for you to just be faithful. It's too much for you to just preach the word. It's too much for you not to use instruments. It's too much for you for women not to preach. I mean, America has liberated them. The church is behind. You know, that's how they speak. But that's not how God speaks. Friends, this man said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. In other words, it's too much, Brother Royce, to do what God says. And so what did he do? Now notice this. Here are your gods, O Yisrael, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. He lied to them, number one. And he set up one in Bethel, which was 18 miles away from where he was, and in the other in Dan, which was 11.5 miles away from where he was. So instead of going all the way up to Jerusalem, I'm going to make it closer for them. I'm going to make it convenient for them. You know, there are people that are trying to do that in worship today. I'm going to worship at home. It's more convenient for me. Hold on. I thought this was about God. I thought this was about the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through verse number 26. I need to do what's best for me. But notice what he says. Verse 30. Now this thing became a what? A sin. Brother Estes, it doesn't get no clearer than that. Friends, it gets no clearer than that. God said what Jeroboam did was a sin. It was wrong. He rebelled against the voice of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, and he caused the people to sin as well. So notice what the Bible says. Verse 31, he made shrines on the high places and made priests from every class of the people who are not the sons of Levi, which is a violation of Numbers chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, which is supposed to be in on the 1st month and the 14th day. It was similar, but it wasn't the same. And people are doing that even today. Well, I know it's supposed to be one man and one woman for life, but if I want to have two women, who are you to tell me? Amen. Friends, this is where we are. So the question I have to ask myself is, what is in my heart? Now, friends, this is not even part of my lesson. That's building up to the lesson. So God sees this thing happening, and he says, I'm going to send the man of God there. This is chapter 13, verses 1 through verse number 11. I'm going to send the man of God there. He's going to prophesy against Jeroboam. Jeroboam is going to be at the altar. And as he is worshiping and offering his sacrifices, it's going to be the man of God that's going to come and he's going to prophesy against him. Next thing you know, the Jeroboam's hand, it withers and it comes toward him. He can't draw it to him. He tells the man of God, pray for me. And the man of God prays for him. And the next thing you know, the King Jeroboam said, come back to the house. Eat with me and I'll give you a reward. And the man of God told him no. And the reason why is because God charged me. not to eat nor drink here, to leave and go to a go a different way out. That's what God told him to do. Now, it's interesting, friends, that this man of God receives this charge. He receives this instruction, and he does exactly what God says as it relates to King Jeroboam. But then look at verse number 11. Now, an old prophet dwelt in Bethel. His sons came and told him all the things, the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their fathers the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. And they saddled the donkey. He rode on it. He went. He found the man of God. And the man of God was sitting underneath an oak. He said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me. Eat bread. And he said, I cannot. Now notice, God gave him a specific command. God spoke to him. Gave him instructions. He knew that. He said, I can't go. And notice what he says. I can't go with you nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you come, the way you came. Verse 18. And he said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying. Reminded of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 verses 6 through 8. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that will trouble you and will pervert me and change the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he said it again. Now think about this, friends. The man of God knew what he's supposed to have been doing. He had in his heart to obey the will of the Lord. Yet he allowed this false prophet, this false teacher, to convince him to do something that God told him not to do. And I thought about the seriousness of that even today. Friends, who are we allowing in our hearts that's causing us to disobey God? God has left us his word, and if anyone says something that's contrary to that, who are we to follow? We're to follow God, and just God. And unfortunately, we live in a time today that men are, even in the Lord's church, are championed. Well, that's your opinion. That's how you see the scriptures. As if there is no absolute truth. Friends, I go on record today that there is absolute truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. The truth shall make us free. Paul said about this, that the truth is in Jesus. God himself is truth. The word of God is truth. And the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. Friends, there is truth. There is no lie in the truth. So the question is this. Should we listen to men like this old prophet? Or should we listen to God? Friends, let's see what happened to this man of God. And you judge. Was God too hard? Was this rebellion as Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23 as the sin of witchcraft? Was it too hard? Was God wrong? Is God wrong to condemn those who are rebellious, insubordinate, who try to mount up some type of mutiny against them? Is God wrong? I thought God wants all men to be saved. Why did God respond in this way? Why did God respond in this way as relates to Uzzah when he touched the Ark of the Covenant? Was God wrong? Notice what the Bible here says. Look at verse number 19. So he went back. Let me tell you something about 1 Kings 13. It's hard for me to preach 1 Kings 13. It's hard for me to read 1 Kings 13. Because every time I read 1 Kings 13, it just makes me totally upset. That this man was willing to lie to him that way. And you know, people are willing to lie to us even like that today. People will lie to you in a New York minute. Y'all remember that? People will lie to your face and they will have a smile and it's crazy. And swear up and down that they're right. I remember when I was in high school, there was this guy, he lied so much that he believed it. And there are people like that. And this man, he lied to him. He knew he was lying to him. And it bothers me that someone can actually lie to me like that and know that they're lying. Notice what he says. So he went back with him. He ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened that as he sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back and cried out to the man of God, meaning proclaimed to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, you have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back, ate bread, drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread, drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, he saddled his donkey, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. His corpse was thrown on the road and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing by the corpse. Then they went and told it to the city. In the city where the old man, the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Really? Really? Seriously? Think about this, friends. There's nothing funny about this. This man lost his life, lost his soul, because this prophet, he lied. And people lie today just like that, straight through their teeth. And some of them are preachers. They're lying, they're causing people to lose their soul. And some preachers, even in the Lord's church, have the audacity to say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Well, that's just his interpretation. He's a good brother, even though what he's teaching is damnable doctrine. He's a good brother. No. He's not. Because good brethren preach sound doctrine. Good husbands, faithful. Good elders, shepherd. Good preachers, preach. Good children, obey. Teach your children that when you tell them to do something, you do it. Because I said it. Because it's right. There's no negotiating with two-year-olds. You let them know this is what's going to happen. It's interesting that I'm 47 years old. There's no negotiation with Jehovah. I either do what he says, or there's a lion waiting on me. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, Satan is as a roaring lion. The Bible is right. And the audacity of this old prophet, this false prophet, notice what he goes on to say. If this doesn't make you upset, I don't know what will. He says, therefore the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son saying, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled it, verse 28. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. The lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God and laid it on the donkey. and brought it back. So the old prophet came to the city to mourn, to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother," so it was after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, "When I'm dead, bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the shrines on the high places, which are in the city of Samaria, surely come to pass. Really? You lied to this man and now you want to be buried with him? Really? Friends, read the Word of God for yourself. Amen. Study the Word of God for yourself. And lo and behold, if Mike Bonner says something that's not right, you better say something. There's a lion in the street. And God is very serious when it comes to His Word. God doesn't give Mike Bonner or any other man privilege or authority to say what he wants to say. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Meaning, you preach it whenever, at all times. Speak those things that befit sound doctrine. Sometimes people, they buck against authority. Wives buck against their husband's authority. Husbands buck against the law. The law bucks against God's authority. We have all of these individuals that are, they're rebelling. A mutiny against God. And I had to tell myself, Mike, you ain't running nothing. Not even your mouth. God's word must govern our homes. God's word must govern our businesses. God's word must govern our actions. It must govern everything about us. Amen. That false prophet lied. Kings ought to listen to God. 1 Samuel 15, Saul didn't listen to God. Go utterly destroy the Amalekites. He listened to the people. Samuel came and he told him, "You didn't listen." As a matter of fact, Samuel told the king, this is a prophet telling the king, "Shut up. You didn't do what God said. You didn't listen to his voice." Friends, we have to listen to God. And we can't be making up laws as we go. We have to rightly divide his word. Because God is serious. This morning I told the brethren that I didn't fully teach something right in Bible class. It bothered me. I had to get it right. I wasn't going to act like that didn't happen. I said it. And if somebody would have checked me on it, I'd have went and studied it. I'd have got it right. Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. You reprove a scorner, he'll hate you. A lot can be said when someone corrects you. When God corrects us, those whom he loved, he corrects. Don't rebel against it. Hearken to his voice. Listen to him. Children, listen to your parents. This is nothing but proven ground. Getting you ready to live in the church alone. So you can learn to listen to God when your parents are not watching. And it's all right to do right when no one's watching. It's all right to think right when no one else is there. It's all right to be holy. It doesn't matter where you are. Listen to God. And we have too many preachers who are not preaching sound doctrine because they're scared of the pews. When is somebody going to be afraid of Jesus? It said one time that the principal is scared of the superintendent. The superintendent is scared of the teachers. And the teachers are scared of the parents. And the children, and the parents are scared of the children, I think it is. And the children ain't scared of nobody. Question. Who are you afraid of? Matthew 10:28. Let's be afraid of God. When every word of God is pure, and it's right, and it's just. And let's be precise as possible. If we don't know what it is, just say, I don't know. But whatever God says, let's muster up the strength and faith to do it. And watch God bless your life. Watch you become a member of the Church of Christ and not a denomination. Well, Brother Bonner, that's your opinion. Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It's interesting that God put the name of his church in the Bible. It makes sense. It's his Bible. It's his church. Are you a member of the church? The church is not man-made, even though there are some men in it that's trying to get it there. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We got some false teachers in the church today, and they're doing some damage. But sound brethren have to stick together and be in fellowship with one another as we hold fast to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And Brother Dennis, Brother Don, Brother Royce, if I'm ever preaching false doctrine and won't come off of it, you better hurry up and get rid of me. Amen. Because you would rather me go to hell than all of us go together. Better hurry up and get rid of me. Because a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. Bad apple. Maybe you're not a child of God. Maybe your preacher don't preach like this. It's nothing but Bible and good application. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will add you to his Son's church, the Church of Christ. There's not another denomination out there. There's not a denomination out there, I'm sorry, that will say that. Because baptism puts you in Christ. Baptism puts you in the church, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Galatians 3, 26 to 27. You come in contact with the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15. And this is going to be the church, the kingdom that's going to be delivered up to God. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24. Don't you want to be part of that? And once you get in, keep studying. Show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stay with the Word of God. Surround yourself with people who study the Word of God and love God. Love God. I'm talking about love God. I ain't talking about being with people that love to be around those who love God. But marry you a man that loves God. Marry you a woman that loves God. And when you do that, oh, you'll be blessed. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor with the Lord. Maybe a child of God and, well, you're starting to love God now. Good. Love God. That when someone comes and they don't bring this doctrine, 2 John 9, don't invite them in your house. God will bless your life. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.